excited to see people on this campus again. Our youth out there looking stunning for their Timbies. Who has youth here tonight? Out there, yeah, Pastor Cameron and Kelsey killed it with a big launch night for our youth. And we're just pumped to have stuff going on Wednesday nights again. Not only that, but we also have our groups that just launched all across Lufkin and Nacogdoches. So that's part of our Next Steps Ministries as well. We have our young adults group, which had 80 young adults has 80 young adults showing up to that. And this semester, we launched for the very first time online group. So Corona kind of pushed us into a new lane, and we've launched online groups for the very first time. So we have our groups in full swing. We have Starting Point. Who's graduated Starting Point? Woo! Yes, we have Starting Point that's going on Sunday mornings here on our Lufkin campus, Iglesia, and in NAC. And we have Encounter that's kicking off on September 13th right here in the chapel on Sunday night. And so I want to encourage you, if you want to take a step further, to also sign up for Encounter. But tonight you're here for Grow Track. You're here because you're leaning into wanting to grow closer to God, to wanting to grow in your Christ-like character, convictions, and conduct. You're wanting to know Him more and take steps further towards your God-given potential, because that's our mission. We say it like this: your God-given potential is our mission. And the way that you get there is by taking next steps. And so you're in here tonight because you took a next step of faith, saying, Lord, teach me, grow me, stretch me, do something new in me, show me something new, reveal yourself to me, lead me, guide me. And I'm telling you, it's going to happen throughout the process of Grow Track. And that's what Grow Track is. Everybody say process. Yes. Grow Track is actually a 12-week class. So we will meet in this room for the next 12 weeks, because it's a spiritual journey of engaging with taking next steps week by week that's going to help you grow closer to Christ, like I already said. But it's this 12-week process. And the unique thing about Grow Track that is unique to only Grow Track, not Encounter, not groups, not Starting Point, is Grow Track actually has three different levels. So we have Grow Track 1, which you're all in here tonight, but then we have Grow Track 2, and we even have Grow Track 3. And I like to use the analogy of building a house. So if you think about building a house, what do you have to do first with this piece of land? What? Prepare it. Yeah, you have to prepare it. And I think, first of all, if we have a plot of land, we've got to move out some trees. We've got to maybe move some boulders. We've got to prepare the land. That's kind of like Starting Point. We're clearing the land. But now that we've got this land cleared, if we're going to build a house, if we're going to build a strong, sturdy, long-lasting house, what comes next? What do we have to put on that open dirt? A foundation. A foundation. That's Grow Track 1. And some of you in here tonight may be thinking, well, I have a foundation. And let me challenge you. God always wants to do something new. God always wants to speak something new. God can do in you something new, no matter how long you've been following Him or walking with Him. So don't let that be a stumbling block to your growth in here this semester. Don't think you're past a point. Come in with a humble, hungry heart, and I promise you, God will meet you every single week. Your journey through Grow Track, like building a house, is going to require some patience. Patience with yourself, patience with God, submitting to Him, allowing Him to do what only He can do in your heart, in your life. It's going to require some perseverance. Perseverance to push through when you're being challenged, when you're being stretched, when you're growing. If something's growing, it's stretching towards the sun. It's coming up from the dirt. And sometimes that's painful, but it's good pain. And so you're going to persevere through that. And it takes commitment. It takes commitment to the 12-week class. Because you know what? Like laying that foundation, you lay a layer of cement, and it dries, and you lay another layer and another layer and another layer until you've got this thick foundation that's sturdy, and you can stand on it. You can begin to put wood up, and you can begin to put the sheetrock up, and you can begin to put the roof on, and eventually you go to GrowTrack 3 and you're putting some paint on the walls, you're installing the nice fixtures at the sinks, but it starts with a foundation, because you can have a beautiful, elaborate house, but you got a crack in that foundation, that's no good. So it starts right here, and every week is like another layer of that foundation, another layer that God wants to solidify in your life, in your growth, and in your walk. And that's so exciting to me. But because it is a commitment, we do ask for 80% in-class participation. So what does that mean? That means you can miss three classes. You can miss up to three classes and still complete and finish GrowTrack 1. Now, we want you in here. We have a team in here. We have table hosts in here. Their job is to help lead you and guide you and shepherd you and connect with you to grow together. And you can't do that if you're not here, right? This is going to become like a family. You'll watch and see, and it's going to be awesome. But we want you here so you can get the most out of what God wants to do in and through your life this semester. So you can miss three classes. Now, if you have a work conflict, so you say, well, I work every other week, and my job just doesn't allow me to be here. We want to help you. We want to see you be able to complete. And so what we're going to do is we're going to work with you. And every single one of these classes is recorded. So we have the audio of that, and we have a link that you can access. So if you're in here tonight and you're saying, well, I have a work schedule that conflicts with that me being able to attend, don't worry. We're going to work with you on that. If your heart truly wants to grow and take next steps, we're going to help you do that. So I do want to take a moment right now and introduce the GrowTrack Dream Team. If you're on this Dream Team, go ahead and stand up. You guys, give them a round of applause. Yes. So this is our GrowTrack Dream Team. These men and women are amazing. They've already been praying for you. They've already been investing prayers and with time with God of what God wants to do during this semester in and through your life. You guys, they're here for you. If you have a question, you can talk to anyone. If you need prayer, you go to them. And that person at your table, your table host, they're going to be checking in with you week in and week out, texting you, sending you encouraging things. And so we want to partner with you in this. You're not alone. We're there for you. And that's why we also want you to be in class. Moving along, though, I do want to say this. How many of you have kids in Kid Grow tonight? Raise it high. Yeah. So the same experience that you're getting in here, the same hunger, the same growth, the same taking those next steps, we want more for the next generation. That's a value. We want more for our next generation. And so we're not only investing into you, we're also investing into your kids in Kid Grow every single Wednesday night. And here's the thing. We love having you here in GrowTrack, but we also, sometimes we need a little bit of help with the kids and investing into them. And so that's why this semester, if you're willing and would want to help us invest into that next generation, you can miss one Wednesday a month to serve in KidWorks, and you won't be penalized for that in your attendance. And if that's something that you're saying, man, I would love to be able just to invest into our kids, invest into the next generation, and still be a part of GrowTrack in that way, there's a sign-up sheet on the table. If you're just write down your name and your number, someone from our kids ministry will get a hold of you and get you plugged in once a month just to help with the kids. We want them to have the same experience over there as you guys are having over here on Wednesday nights. And so we want to invest in them and make that a priority. I won't delay anymore. We're about to get started. I know you guys see Pastor Dan sitting up here. He is going to teach tonight. But before we jump in, because that was a lot to take in. That was a lot to take in just coming and a part of a Wednesday night. And so before we get started, I want to do a little exercise with you guys to help you make that commitment, to help you set that expectation of what you want to get out of GrowTrack and what you want God to do in your life. So right now, if you'll take your manual and you'll open that manual to Appendix A, which is all the way in the back. We have an appendices in the back. If you'll open to Appendix A. And when you got it, say, got it. Still hear some papers crinkling. So we talked about how you will get out of what you put in to grow track. And not just grow track, but your relationship with the Lord. It's a lot like anything else in life. You will get out what you put in. So if you put your whole heart in and you really lean into this with God, if you really put in the time to cultivate your relationship with Him, I'm telling you, you're going to get an abundance from your life. You're going to see the good fruit begin to grow on the tree of your life. You're going to see Him lead you and guide you and help you and support you. You're going to see change and transformation happen. But if you only want to put 50% in, you're only going to get 50% out. What you put in is what you will get out. And like I said, that commitment is so important, to have that patience and that perseverance, but also to make that commitment. And so we designed this exercise specifically for this class so that you guys could kind of set some goals and some expectations of what you want to get out of Grow Track. What do you want God to do in your life this semester? These next 12 weeks, what do you want to see God do in your life? Maybe you want to just make it a daily or a weekly habit to read the Bible. Maybe you really want to dig into God's word. Maybe you really want to cultivate time with Him outside of the four walls of church. Learn how to spend time with God. Maybe you want to make it a goal to show up to every single class. Maybe you need God to do something inside of you. Maybe you have a dream buried in your heart that you think is dead, that you need the Lord's hands to touch and bring back to life. Maybe you're struggling in an area of life and you say, I need to get past this. What do you want to see God do? We're going to take a few moments and fill that side out, and then we're going to look at on the left side, fill out the left side, and then we're going to look at the right side. So just a few moments.
The earth is arising. We prophesy.
right? So right now, you wrote down a few goals, a few things that you want to see God do in your life these over these next 12 weeks. And now we're going to write down what would be an obstacle to you achieving that, to you getting there. What would be an obstacle and that could be in your path from reaching that destination and reaching that goal that you wrote down? So maybe if your goal is to be in class every week, what could be some obstacles that might could get in the way? One of them starts with a net and ends in a flicks. Yeah, if you want to be in here every Wednesday, guess where you can't be? Sitting on that couch watching Netflix every Wednesday, hey? I'm guilty of that myself sometimes. You just get stuck. Sometimes I get stuck just scrolling. Does that happen to anyone? Gosh, that happens to me. I waste 45 minutes just looking for a movie. So upsetting. Anyways, but what are some obstacles? What are some obstacles? Maybe you put down, I want to start spending time with God, or maybe I want to start spending time with God again. I want to rev that my prayer life up. Maybe it's in order to do that, I need to wake up earlier. So that snooze button could be an obstacle. Or maybe it's I need to go to bed earlier so I can wake up earlier. Or I need to turn the TV off at night so I can set aside 15 minutes to spend with God. So right now, just a couple minutes, write down what are some obstacles or what some obstacles could be from you achieving that goal. Just a couple minutes on that. All right, you guys, if you weren't able to finish this exercise, don't worry. These manuals are going home with you, so you can take that home and finish it. Before Pastor Dan comes up here and makes his way up here, I do want us just to pray over these. I want us to consecrate these to the Lord. I want us to give these to him and offer those up to him and pray over what he wants to do in your lives and pray over this semester and even tonight. So could you just lay a hand on those goals and those obstacles right now? Just take your hand and lay your hand over that. Even if you just put your hand on your manual. And we're just going to pray real quick and lift this up to the Lord. Father God, first of all, I just thank you that we're able to be in here tonight, God, that we're able to meet in here, Father. I thank you, Lord, that we're able to meet in your house, God, for Grow Track again, Lord. I know there are churches all over the United States and the world that aren't able. Their doors are still shut. So, Father, we thank you that we're able to be here tonight, God. And right now, Father, we lift up these goals to you. We lift up these expectations to you in faith. God, we offer these to you, whatever they may be. If it's wanting to grow closer to you, Father, if it's wanting for you to heal in some way or for you to overcome or for you to mend a relationship, God, we just lift up the goals to you, Father, whatever they may be. We consecrate them to you, Jesus. We also lift up these obstacles, Lord. And God, I just pray that this Grow Track 1 class would be different than any other. God, I pray that you would show up in a special way and speak to every heart tonight. God, and every week from this moment forward, Lord, I just pray for fresh eyes for every person in this room to see what you're doing in their life and see where you want them to go and where you're taking them. God, I pray for hearts to be open tonight to receive your word, to receive your truth. God, I thank you for hungry hearts. I pray that you would continue to stir a hunger in each person, God, because we know your word says that those who thirst and hunger for righteousness shall be filled. So, Lord, we ask to be thirsty. We ask to be hungry for truth, for growth, for our God-given potential. And I pray, Lord, you would meet every person right where they are tonight and you would complete the work you've started in them, that foundation work you're doing tonight, God, whether it's mending cracks in a foundation or pouring a foundation for the very first time. Lord, we offer it all to you. And it's in your precious name we pray, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, hey, you guys, give it up for Pastor Dan, our NAC campus pastor. Yeah. Getting some love. We love Pastor Dan and Laura, but I'm going to hand it over to him. He's going to teach tonight. It's going to be awesome.
This is going to be average, everybody. There's only at least a couple of things you're going to think, man, I wish I had gone home and done that instead. Hey, I'm just kidding. I'm super glad to be here with you guys tonight. It's a pleasure. I love teaching this first opener to Grow Track, and I just want to encourage you. Some of you, you've been serving Jesus from the beginning of time, and you're just here, and you're just curious about what God's doing, and you're wanting to be a part of something. I want to encourage you to kind of just relax a little bit and say, God, teach me something tonight. When we come to God with a teachable spirit, how many of you guys know that God will teach us? He will lead us. He will reveal himself to us in a supernatural way. But if we come and we've already got it all figured out, how many of you guys know that when we get to heaven, it's not like we're going to take some test and we got to know all the answers to the test. We need to know one answer, and that answer is Jesus, and we need to know who he is. Amen? And so our life is not really about getting all the answers right. My mom used to say, it's a goal of mine to read through the entire Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Has anybody done that? Anybody ever, have you read the Bible from front to back? No? Make that a goal of your life. Like, it's a cool accomplishment. But my mom used to say, I want to read the Bible from Genesis to Revelation because I don't want to get to heaven someday and run across, Daniel and say, what's up, Daniel? Hey, sorry I didn't get around to reading your book, you know. Aren't you thankful? That's not what heaven's going to be like. Like, we need to read the Word of God because it's life. It's transformative, right? It transforms us from the inside out. It's living, it's breathing. And so some of the things that we talk about tonight, you may say, oh, that's basic stuff. I've got the answer to that. I just want to encourage you, man, be open. Let God speak to you tonight. Let God reaffirm some of those truths in you. May you fall in love more and more with the Word of God and who Jesus is. Can we do that? Look at your neighbor and say, I'm so glad you're here with me. Look at your other neighbor, your second choice, and say, it's just good that you're here. You need this. Well, first things first, as you're going through your notes, you're going to want to fill in. If you're like me, I take notes. I fill in those margins. I circle. I draw lines. I draw happy faces and that kind of stuff. But take notes tonight. Fill in the blanks. Follow along with us. Tonight, we're talking about salvation. We're going to be talking about some water baptism near the end. And we're really going to focus in on what this thing, salvation, is. Y'all, I've been serving Jesus for... since I was 17, and I'm 40. I'm not going to do math in front of you because I'll embarrass myself. But, like, I'm still learning more and more about him. I'm still learning more and more about this salvation, this miraculous thing that happens inside of us. And so we're going to try to approach some questions and really begin to open ourselves up to things like, how does God reveal himself to us? How does God speak to us? Is God a speaking God? Say yes. How does he reveal himself to us? Why did Jesus have to die on the cross? What does it mean to be redeemed and justified? Some of these words that you may have heard or you may have read before. What does that mean? How do I walk in the confidence of my salvation? Is that a possibility? You know, when I was a teenager, I attended youth group, and man, I got saved every Wednesday night. Anybody with me? Like, every time there's an altar call, I felt like I was on my way to hell, so I just wanted to make sure. So I would get, how do I walk in the confidence of my salvation? And Paul said it this way, get past the milk of the Word of God and get onto the meat of it. Like, let's get past this whole wondering if I'm saved or not so that I can get on to helping other people get saved. And so salvation and the confidence of our salvation, understanding Jesus. Boy, we're going to spend all of our earthly life understanding who Jesus is. And then all of eternity getting to know him better and better. But understanding his life, his death, his resurrection, the mission that he came to accomplish here on earth. John 3, 16 and 17 says this, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and everyone who believes in him shall not perish, but have... Man, y'all are good. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. This is one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible, but what does it really mean? What does it really mean? And you've read that before, and you're like, yeah, I got that one. Check that box. I'm ready to go. But as I was reading that scripture, I just put some notes on the side here, just reminding, allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me. Here are some things I wrote down real quick. This isn't in your notes, but these are some basic things just from these two verses of scripture. Number one, God is a God of love. In fact, God is love. 1 John 4, verse 7 says, beloved, let us love one another for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. God is love. God is a giver. In fact, the scripture says that he scooped up the most valuable treasure in heaven and he spent it on us. God is a generous God. So you're going to hear us talk a lot about generosity. We want to be generous people, generous with our time and our treasures and our talents and our testimony. Why? Because when we are generous, we are like God. That's what we want to be. We want to be more and more like Jesus. He's a generous God. God is our heavenly Father, and we are his children, and we become his children the moment that we believe in his Son, Jesus. Everyone, you'll never lock eyes with someone who doesn't deeply matter to God. He's not willing that anyone should perish, but everyone. That means skin color doesn't matter. That means political position doesn't matter. That means if they're not American, it doesn't. You're never going to lock eyes with somebody here or in Haiti or in Germany or in the far reaches of Africa that God didn't die for. Everyone. Are you with me? Like, we're just in one verse of scripture. Taylor, I'm never going to get past this tonight. I'm telling you, I got a lot to do. Heaven is real, but hell is real also, that we would not perish. Like, we cannot follow Jesus and have this idea that there's no eternity, or there's no hell, but heaven is real. Eternity is real, and it's for all of us. God has a plan, and he's executing that plan through Christ and through you and through me. The world is seeking God. There is a hunger inside of God in every single one of us. So what is eternal life? John 17:3 says, and this is the real and eternal life, that they know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ. So what am I trying to say? John 3:16, man, when I've read that 1,000 times, I've preached that 1,000 times, and I'm still gaining more and more from it. God wants to reveal himself to us. We can know God through knowing and understanding the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, his Son. So the ultimate revelation of God to mankind is who? Jesus Christ. In fact, the scriptures say that if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And Jesus came to this world, Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. So number one, you guys ready to fill in some blanks? Jesus Christ is the Son of God and was present at creation. He was present at creation. He didn't just show up on the scene in the second half of your Bible. Right? He was there from the very beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. Then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish and the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground. Let us make mankind in our image. So we're a church that we believe that the scripture teaches us in the triune God, in the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. All one God, and yet functioning in three different ways. And Jesus right there at the beginning. And I believe that Jesus is revealed every time God, in those first couple of chapters of Genesis, when God was speaking into existence these things. That was Jesus, the spoken word, right there at the beginning. And the Spirit of God hovering over the deep. Number two, God created us to love him and to have a close relationship with him. Aren't you glad that God didn't just create this world and spin it into existence and then just step step back and say, I hope they figure it out. Good luck. And throw a couple of hurricanes and stuff in the mix every once in a while. We were in Lake Charles just this Monday. And took a group, about 15 of us, went to go serve and help some needy, needy people. Had some incredible conversations with people as they're pulling up. And I'm telling you, like Cadillac Escalades and broken down Chevy Corsicas, you know, pulling through. One lady, she's pulling through and she's riding on rims. And I'm like, ma'am, you got to pull over. We got to change your tire. You're like in bad shape. And they're here, and they're all, because of the hurricane, everybody, like, we're all at the same level now. We just need water. We just need a tarp. We just need some food. And we got a chance to pray with a lot of these incredible people. And I remember one guy pulling through, and he says, you know, we're going to make it. And I know that God has a plan in all of this, and I just believe that God caused this hurricane for a reason. And my heart breaks in that moment, because I just want to say, man, God's, you know, we've got this messed up understanding that God is mad at us. He's not mad at us. He's mad about us, right? And there's opportunity that in tragedy that we can see him and that God wants to show his love. And so many of these people that came through were just broken by the love of God. And as we're praying with them and spending time with them, just encouraging them, it was just so cool to understand once again that God has, he wants a relationship with us and he has great love for us, and he created us to love him. Genesis 3:8, they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and the man and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Ephesians 1:4 and 5, long ago, even before he made the world, God chose us. Look at your neighbor and say, he chose you. He chose us to be his very own through what Christ would do for us. He decided then to make us holy in his eyes without a single fault. We who stand before him covered with his love. His unchanging plan has always been to adopt us into his own family by sending Jesus Christ to die for us. And he did this because he wanted to. Listen, Jesus Christ was not backup plan. It wasn't plan B because plan A screwed up. Because Adam and Eve screwed up the first plan. It was always God's plan to redeem us. It was always God's plan to make a way where there seemed to be no way. It was always God's plan to bring us back to himself. And you can see Paul in Ephesians is speaking in, like, he's saying, no, before creation began, God had this plan. So let's not get it messed up and think, well, Jesus was like, he was the one that came in to clean up the whole mess. Like, he was part of the plan the entire time. From Genesis to Revelation, it was all working into who Jesus is. Number three, sin entered this world through Adam and Eve's rebellion, causing a break in the close relationship with God, causing a great divide between God and mankind. Sin severed that connection with God. I'm going to attempt to draw on this whiteboard, and you're going to attempt to read what I write. So here we have, at the beginning, man and God walking in unbroken, say unbroken, relationship. They walk in the cool of the day. They obviously weren't in East Texas. A cool front came in my eye. It's still hot outside. They're walking in the cool of the day. And you guys know the story. We don't have to go back through it, but God put, he gave them freedom over everything in the garden. He even gave them freedom to, like, name animals. That's crazy. An aardvark? Really, Adam? Okay. If that's what you want to name that thing. But he said, don't touch that tree. That tree's mine. Don't go near it. It's none of your business. Don't worry about it. I'm going to provide everything for you. Just don't mess with the tree. Satan comes in and tempts him and says, hey, you know what? God put that tree there just to tempt you. He knows that if you eat from that tree, that you're going to be just like him. Doesn't that sound good? Don't you think you could be like God? And we've struggled from the very beginning of time trying to put ourselves in a position of God, haven't we? sitting on the throne of our own hearts. And so sin came into the world. Adam and Eve took a bite of that apple and severed. And I love that word because it really is, it's a severing. It's a, we can't put this thing back together. And this gap now formed between man and God. And you know what we've been doing ever since then? Trying to find a way to get back to God. What do we fill this gap with? Talk to me for a few minutes. Money? Pleasure? Work? Right? What else do we fill that gap? Anybody ever felt like there was a hole in your life? You see, I'm convinced that whether an atheist says they believe that there's a God or not, I believe there's a homing beacon in every single human being that draws them to a relationship with God. The Spirit of God is constantly drawing man to himself. The Spirit of God, no man comes to Jesus yet but by the Father who draws him, and God is always drawing. How many of you guys, you know that at a point in your life you were far from God? Come on, somebody. You were far from God. And yet God made a way. He got a hold of your attention. He grabbed you by the nape of the neck. I'm not sure what part of my neck is a nape, but he had his whole hand around it. And he drew me back to him. But I'm telling you, before then, I was trying to fill that gap. I was trying to make it to God. But that sin in my life wouldn't allow me to do that. I couldn't get past that. My problem was sin. And here's the reality of it. Sin causes death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is what? It's eternal life. But the wages of sin is death. So not only do I think I'm trying to jump, I can't jump this thing because I'm dead. I'm dead in my transgressions. All of my efforts mean nothing. I'm totally dead in my sin. I need God to do something. I can't build a bridge. I can't fill the gap. All of my efforts mean nothing. You ever felt that way? Like in your pursuit of God and all of your working and all of your striving, you're like, I'm not making any headway. I take two steps forward and one step back. We can't do it. Sin has caused death in us. It separates us. It results in judgment in our life. And yet God's plan is to love us. God's plan is to give us an abundant life, an eternal life. And you know what? I believe the spirit of man desires those things. And there's something in us that wants more. Don't you hear creation crying out for more? Don't you hear humanity crying out for more? They don't know the words. They don't know how to put it into words, but they're crying out. There's got to be something more to this life. So God knew that we couldn't fill this gap with enough stuff to get to him. So what did he do? What did God do? He said, they can't fill the gap, but I can. They can't get to me, but as T.D. Jakes says, I'm going to come to them. I'm going to come down. So, yeah. Right? So he filled the gap. But he knew the only way to fill that gap was for him to come and do it himself. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? And don't you sense the mercy and the grace in that? Salvation is a gift. You can't do it through works. You can't do it through religion. You can't do it through a philosophy. That gap is filled by the cross of Jesus Christ and him alone. It's not what you could do. It's what he has already done for you. And I love coming back to the foundational principle of salvation, that it's not about me and it's all about him. While I was yet a sinner, Christ died for me. And I don't know about you, but there have been times where I thought, if I could just get myself cleaned up enough, then I'll come to God. And God's like, I don't need you to come and rearrange the furniture on the Titanic, son. Like, you're sinking. I need you to just surrender yourself to me and let me do the work. And sometimes we think, man, if I just get it all dressed up and figured out, then God will love me more. No, God loves you. Why? He loves you exactly the way that you are, but he loves you too much to leave you that way. Are you hearing me? And salvation, this miraculous thing that happens the moment that I put my faith and trust in him, is a work of God, and it's not of what you could do. It's only what God has done for you. And in Starting Point, we go through this, and we talk about in the second week this finding freedom and how God delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt by their own works. Absolutely not. They were in slavery. God did it himself through his miraculous power. He delivered them out, and he got them into the wilderness. And now they had to start trying to live and figure out how to live as children of God. Are you still with me? So God's solution was Jesus. He bridged the gap for us. And now we can come to God. And we can come to the creator. Think about it for a second. You can come to the creator of the universe. You get to approach God Almighty. In fact, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace with confidence and bring your requests. Because of Jesus, not because of you, you can come directly to him because of what Jesus has done. Number four, for thousands of years after that event, after that sin event, that gap, that distance that was placed between us, God constantly revealed himself to his people, reaching across the great divide through many different prophets, priests, judges, and kings. God tried to restore right relationship between mankind and himself. When we read the Old Testament, we read things like lambs that were sacrificed. And these things that had to, these regulations, and it was just this constant striving. And none of these things were going to keep man righteous and pure. But it was all leading up to a spotless lamb who would die for the sins of mankind. And his name is Jesus. So number five, no attempt of mankind was able to build a bridge long enough to bridge that great divide. No sacrifice was truly sufficient. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. No sacrifice was sufficient because man would sin again and again and again and cause an immediate need for another sacrifice to be given. If our relationship with God was dependent on our ability to morally restrain ourselves, bite your bottom lip hard enough for long enough. How many of you guys have ever tried to do that? Like, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good, I'm going to be good. and then I'm not good. And then I feel like, oh, man, I'm all the way back here again. I'm going to be good. Like, if that's what our relationship with God is dependent upon, how many of you guys know it's a short-lived relationship? It's in him. Therefore, number six, Jesus came to build the bridge for us. He suffered and died, paying the debt of our sins, taking them upon himself and dying on the cross for all of us. Think about that for a minute. This always blows my mind to think that Jesus took the sin of the world on himself. Past, present, and future. He took it upon himself. Romans 5:8, God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died. 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive in the spirit. His sacrifice is the only sacrifice that could and did bridge the great divide. And you don't have to go too far to find a religion that is trying to build a bridge over the gap, trying to depend on works, trying to do good things, trying to whatever it is to build that bridge. 1 Timothy 5:2-5 and 6 says that God is on one side and all the people on the other side, and Jesus Christ himself, man, is between them to bring them together by giving his life for all mankind. And I want you to write this in the margins of your notes. Jesus plus anything is not the gospel. Jesus plus anything is not the gospel. What do I mean? Jesus plus, what kind of stuff do we like to add to it? Jesus plus works. Jesus plus church attendance. Jesus plus sobriety. Jesus plus a clean mouth. Jesus plus only Christian music. Jesus plus tithing. Jesus plus church membership. Jesus plus water baptism. Jesus plus communion. Jesus plus anything is not the gospel. It's Jesus and Jesus alone. My faith in him, he said, it is finished on the cross. And you know, there's not any more work. Paul, read the writings of Paul in the New Testament, and he talks about this constantly. Do not add additional things to Jesus. He was sufficient. Look at your neighbor and say, sufficient. It was a completed work. He's all you need. And if he's all you got, he's all you need, right? Like Jesus did it all. So I don't need to add to him. He is sufficient. Now, do I want to continue to walk out this life and be more and more like him? Is tithing good? Is Christian service good? Is cleaning up your life and not living in such a way that's going to cause harm to me good? Absolutely, all those things. Why? Because Satan has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came that you might have life and more abundant life. And if I believe that Jesus has died for an abundant life and I want every bit of that, and if God has given me instruction to do that through his word, then by God, I'm going to follow his word and I'm going to figure out all that God has for me, right? But Jesus plus anything else is not the gospel. The good news is that Jesus did it all, and if you put your faith and trust in him, you'll have eternal life. That one of the greatest evidence of that is one of the thieves hanging on the cross next to Jesus. And all he said, y'all, was, hey, would you remember me when you get into your paradise? And Jesus says, you bet. However, sure, great idea. I love it. Can't wait to see you there. Now, here's five things I'd like for you to do, you know? No, the guy was like nailed to the cross. There was no chance. He couldn't make it right. He couldn't do all these things. His simple faith and trust in the one that was hanging on the cross next to him was enough. And that's salvation. That's the beautiful gift of salvation. That is good news. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good news. Means I don't have to clean it all up. I can trust him to clean it up for me. He will we say this is the Timber Creek, the hassle-free guarantee of Timber Creek Church. Give us a year of your life and God will transform you from the inside out, and we're going to help you do it. Because we truly believe it. If you'll just surrender your life to him, that God will begin the work from the inside out, and you'll see the fruit of the Spirit alive and at work in your life, and God's going to do an amazing thing. Number 8, when we decide to put our trust and faith in his life, death, and resurrection and make him the Lord of our lives, we are saved. Romans 10 says, if we confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart man believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. This is the essence. And how many of you guys were taught that there was a sinner's prayer that we needed to pray? Have you prayed the sinner's prayer, brother? I don't know. Who wrote it? You know, like, where do I find that in the gospel? This is the essence of the sinner's prayer. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. It's simply, Jesus, help me. Jesus, help me. We call upon his name, call on the name of the Lord, and you will be saved. Number 9, as believers in Jesus Christ, we now have access to God and his presence, and we can stand before him without shame or fear. You know, Adam and Eve in the garden, I find it interesting. Before God, they just living life, walking around naked. Walking around in the woods, butt naked. I'm not going to do that. Like, I'm scared of the woods out here. Like, that's crazy. But they were. And once they sinned, they hid from God and actually sewed some fig leaves to cover themselves. And God said, hey, who told you you were naked? Listen to me. For the first time, man took his eyes off God and began to look at himself. And I just want to encourage you, when salvation happens in and through us, we begin to look at God. We fix our eyes on Jesus. That's why Paul says, fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of your faith. You know when we screw up in life and we start looking back at ourselves? We get our eyes on ourselves and not on Him. Right? So as believers in Jesus Christ, we now have access to God. We're no longer naked, but we're clothed in Him. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10. And so, dear brothers, now we may walk right in to the very holy of holies where God is because of the blood of Jesus that covers us, the blood of Jesus that covers us. This is the fresh, new, life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us by tearing the curtain, His human body. See, in the Old Testament, there was the temple of God, and there was the Holy of Holies that was in the center of this temple. But remember, they're attempting to get into relationship with God. God's trying to get to them, and there's this gap, and He's trying to make a way, and they're trying to make sacrifices, and there was this curtain that was a visible evidence of what sin had done. It separates us. There were people that stood outside that curtain and said, "No, ma'am, you cannot go in there. No, sir, you cannot go in there. No, you got sin in your life." And one person a year got to go in there and meet with God. And the rest of us were stuck outside. And when Jesus died, He tore the curtain in two. And He said, "Y'all come in. Come on in. You have access to God the Father." This isn't an exclusive club, everybody. Church is not a country club. It's a hospital, and the doors are wide open. Come on in. Come on in. God welcomes you to come on in because of what Christ has done. This is the fresh, new, life-giving way that Christ has opened up for us by tearing that curtain, and that curtain was His body, to let us into the holy presence of God. And since this great high priest of ours rules over God's household, let us go right into God Himself with true hearts, fully trusting in Him to receive us because we have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean and because our bodies have been washed with pure water. Now we can look forward to the salvation God has promised. There is no longer any room for doubt, and we can tell others that salvation is ours, for there is no question that He will do what He says. The good news of Jesus is that He has died for every single one of us, and every single one of us has access to Him. Isn't that good news? Isn't that good news? For a few moments, I want you at your tables. Colossians chapter 1, Paul the Apostle wrote this letter to the church in Colossae. And you're going to read through a passage of Scripture here. And as a table, you're going to answer these questions. Who do you say Jesus is? Who is Jesus according to the Apostle Paul? How does the passage of Scripture change the way that we think about the person of Jesus? And I hope in the last few moments we've just stirred a little bit of our hearts towards who really Christ is. And Paul's going to talk about that just for a few moments. I'm going to give you some time at your table to read it through, come up with some answers, and then we'll come right back to you.
Rise in the wake of you. Joy overcomes the sorrow. Hope will be
hills of Mount Hermon at the place called the Gates of Hell. There's an actual place. I don't have time to describe it tonight to you. But it was in this spot that Jesus says, hey, who do people say I am? Who do people say I am? And they're like, oh, some say you're Elijah. Some say you're a prophet. Some say you're, you know, a good teacher, whatever. And Jesus says, well, who do you say that I am? And so who do we say that Jesus is? Real quick, leaders, help me out. Son of God? Messiah? Friend? Okay. What's that? Assurance? Creator? Okay. Who is Jesus according to the Apostle Paul? What are some of the things that the Apostle Paul says about Jesus? He is the visible image of the invisible God. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father, he said. What else? What else does Paul say? The head of the church, which means that there are two truths in life. There is a God and you are not him. Right? Like, he's the head of the church, and we are different parts of the body, and that's a beautiful part of this whole church thing, is we get in, and we get involved, and we get connected, and we do our thing, but at the end of the day, he's the one that turns the body. It's him at the head, right? What else did Paul say? He's the beginning and the end, back table. You guys know what reconciliation is? He reconciles. I think it's a bank term, isn't it? To reconcile the books, to balance the books. He's the reconciler. When things cannot be reconciled, when marriage cannot be reconciled, Jesus is the reconciler. When you cannot reconcile things in your own heart about relationships, or God is the reconciler. That's what he does. That's who he is. What else? Anything else? He's over all of creation. Everything was created by him, for him, through him. That's who Jesus is. And I hope in that moment you get this understanding that he is so much more than just somebody who died on the cross for us. Like, it's all Jesus. It's him. It's always been him, and it will always be him. His name is Jesus, man. And when we get connected to him, and Christ, that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead, dwells in you and me. Like, we have Jesus in us. It's so absolutely incredible. So once you believe, okay, so salvation happens. And many times salvation is that personal decision that you make between you and God. The Spirit of God quickens your spirit and lets you know that you are a sinner in need of a Savior. If you don't know that you're a sinner, then there's no need for a Savior. And you have the conviction of God in your heart. Many people walk right into church and they don't even hear a sermon, and yet they know, I need God. I don't even know what I need. I just need him. And the convicting work of God, salvation is a very personal decision between you and God. But baptism is a very public declaration of your faith in God. So we talk about water baptism, we talk about taking next steps, and for many of you, maybe you've experienced water baptism before, maybe you've never taken that step, and you're not sure if that's really what you want to do. Maybe you've been baptized before, and there's been just so much stuff, so much water under the bridge, as they say, that you would just say, you know what, I want to make a fresh public declaration of my faith. Many times people ask me, well, I've been baptized before, should I get baptized again? And I'm like, man, get baptized 100 times if you want to, you know. Like, how many times do you need to walk out into the Jordan River, you know, and experience that again? Like, I think it's okay that if you want to get baptized again, salvation is a one-time thing. You put your faith in Jesus, and now we're going to walk in the confidence of our salvation. But baptism is one of those things that you declare to everybody that I'm saved, I'm a child of God, and I want to walk and follow after him. The importance of water baptism. Let's fill in a couple of blanks here. Number one, we follow the example and the command set by Jesus. Mark 1:9, at the time Jesus came from Nazareth and was baptized by John in the river. And Matthew 28:19-20, Jesus said, go then to all the people everywhere and make them my disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and then teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. We're following his example. John the Baptist was like, Jesus, you know, Jesus comes to John and says, hey, I need you to baptize me. And John's like, are you kidding me? You want me to baptize the Son of the Living God? You crazy? And I'm not even worthy to untie your shoes, right? And Jesus is like, no, we need to do this. It's fulfillment. It's important. I want to set the example. And so as people followed him, well, we want to continue to follow him. Number two, it illustrates Christ's death and resurrection. We call it a watery grave. Full submersion, that's what we believe in. All the way down in the water, we hold you down for like 2 minutes and then we bring you back up. Some of you just longer, you know, hold your breath. You ever look at the pastor and you see him whisper something into their ear, you know, as they're going down? You know, it's hold your breath. You know? No, I'm just kidding. But it's a watery grave. 1 Corinthians 15, Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose up again. It's just that outward symbol of us dying to ourselves, being resurrected to him. Colossians 2:12, for when you were baptized, you were buried with Christ. And in baptism, you were also raised with Christ. Number three, it illustrates and demonstrates my new life as a Christian. And I love talking to those candidates that are saying, I want to be baptized. And guys, if you've never been baptized or you've been baptized here at Timber Creek Church, you know that we like to party. We just believe that heaven's a big party, and we're just starting it early. Like, we just, that's how we do things. We party a lot around here. And we believe that salvation should be a party. Baptism ought to be a party. There ought to be rejoicing when we get baptized. Some of you may have been baptized in a church before, and it was kind of a solemn event. And that's a solemn event, and that's okay. But you're going to recognize here, when we get baptized, then we party. We're excited about it. And I love telling candidates right before we go into that service that there's an experience that happens when you get baptized and you go down into the water. And just like Jesus, when he was baptized in the water, he came up. What happened? The Spirit of God came down like a dove that rested upon him. It was the favor of God. And he heard the voice of the Father and saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased." And I love telling candidates, when you get baptized, you should hear in your spirit the Father saying, "This is my Son in whom I am well pleased. This is my daughter in whom I am well pleased." And you're like, "I haven't done anything for him." It doesn't matter. You are his kid and he loves you. And I'm telling you, in that moment, the emotion that floods, because there's this release of, I don't have to work for his grace anymore. He loves me just the way that I am. Come on, somebody. Like, that's pretty awesome, right? That's worth celebrating, right? So when they come up out of the water, I tell them, when you come up, I want you fist bumping. I want you coming up out of that water, because you're no longer dead in your sin, but you've been made alive in Christ, and that same resurrection power that raised Christ from the dead dwells in you. You come up out of that water with power and confidence. Come on, now. Feel like preaching tonight. So that illustrates and demonstrates my new life in Christ. And you ought, like, if you've never been baptized, right now I'm hoping, I'm inspiring you to get baptized. We want you to experience that. If you've gone through some tough stuff in your life and you're like, you know what, I'm giving my life to Jesus and I want to start fresh and anew, I encourage you to take that next step and be baptized. We're going to have a baptism service in October. Sign up. Be a part of it. Allow that to be that moment in your life that you can look back on and say, "Nope, devil, I died to my sin. I'm no longer living to the old way of life. I'm living to this new way of life that Christ has died for me, that I could have that." Number three, it illustrates and demonstrates my new life as a Christian. 2 Corinthians 5:17, when someone becomes a Christian, he becomes a brand new person. Say brand new. Brand new inside. The old life has passed away. Thank you, God. And a new life has begun. Something brand new. Romans 6:4, by our baptism, then we were buried with him and shared his death, in order that Jesus, as Christ was raised from the dead, so also we may live in new life. Ephesians 2:8-9, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. I want to take just a moment. I'm going to ask you to just bow your heads at your tables there. And I can't help but in this moment, we've talked about Jesus and we've talked about our sin and we've talked about that gap and how Jesus has come and he's bridged the gap for us, and it's a gift and we receive it from him. I don't want to pass this moment without giving somebody the opportunity. If you've yet to really surrender your life to Jesus, and you've been trying to do it on your own, through your own righteousness, through your own works. And tonight you just decide, you know what? I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready to receive the gift of salvation. If that's you tonight, would you just slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. Yeah, who else? Who else tonight? I'm ready. I'm ready to receive the gift of salvation. Father, you see the hands tonight. You see the hearts tonight. Those that have been redeemed by your blood. Those that are struggling, they're not even questioning in that place, Lord, of still deciding and really testing the claims of Christ. God, thank you that you're still working, that you're still speaking. And I thank you, Lord, the simple prayer of Jesus, I'm a sinner in need of a Savior. Help me. The words of our mouth and the belief in our heart that Jesus, I believe that you spanned the gap, that you came, you lived a perfect life, you died a sinner's death, you were buried in a borrowed tomb, and 3 days later you were resurrected from the dead. Because of that, I am saved, and we declare that in Jesus' name. And for those tonight that just need to take a next step, maybe baptism is their next step, maybe they need to publicly declare, yeah, Jesus has saved me. He's brought about new in me, and I want to live for him all the days of my life, and I want to declare with my life that he is good and that Jesus saves. God, I pray that you would help them in the next few moments to take that next step, to sign up, to make themselves available for that opportunity. God, we thank you for tonight. Thank you, Jesus, for all you've done in our life. We thank you for it in your powerful name. Amen. Come on, guys, put your hands together for those that gave their lives to Jesus tonight. Come on, make some noise. The Bible says that all of heaven rejoices when one person, come on. And I believe that there's not a moment, listen to me, I believe there's not a moment in heaven where they're just not partying all the time. There's just not. Because God is constantly redeeming. God is constantly saving. And for those of you that made that decision tonight, I commend you. I want to encourage you. Tell your table host about it. Let them know, hey, you know what? I recommitted my life, or I committed my life to the for the first time. And those of you that you're ready to take that next step of water baptism, or you've got some questions about it, ask your table host. We'd love to help you with that. In October, we're going to throw a big party. We haven't done baptisms for like a while now. And we're ready and excited to start celebrating with people that have come to Christ and are experiencing new life. Would you stand with me? Guys, it's been fun being with you tonight. Thank you for letting me share with you. You guys have an incredible week. Welcome to Grow Track. Don't miss another class. It's going to be amazing. God bless you guys. We'll see you next time.